Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Hey friends, happy Thursday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. You are legendary for being here. Make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews. Always appreciate that a ton. If it's your first time here, thanks for checking out the podcast. Hope you like it. And like I said, if you do, make sure to like and subscribe so that you get it. 365 days a year, we are here for you to talk Packers every single freaking day. If you're not checking out the Daily Draft with Ross Uglum, make sure to do so. Jacob Morley is doing an unbelievable series right now, going through kind of using the Green Bay Draft Guide and all the work and research that they've done to tell you who some of the most likely draft picks are for Green Bay in this draft at each and every position. We're about to be four episodes into that already. So he's doing a phenomenal job on that. Plus, we've got our usual Pack-A-Day crew on the audio side of the channel as well. So just make sure you're checking out all the great content. So many people doing such incredible work to, you know, basically get you ready for this draft. And then just talk all things Packers, in the meantime as well. Before we get into today's show, just wanted to give you a heads up. I know I've mentioned, next Thursday, I'm going to be at the Timber Rattlers game with Aaron Nagler, pre-game Q&A. The following Wednesday, the night before the draft, I'm going to be doing a live Q&A at Hagemeister Park from 7 to 9 in downtown Green Bay. Following the draft on Saturday night from 6 to 8 p.m., I'm going to be doing a live Q&A at the Titletown Tap Room. These are all free events, just simple, fun, easy Q&As. Should be kind of fun pre-draft to go through some of the options, post-draft to go through and sort of unwrap all the gifts. So we're going to do that. But I know some of you have been asking, well, what about the audio or like what about the YouTube channel? What are you going to be doing for those that can't make it to the draft? First of all, unfortunately, those live events will not be live streamed. However, I'm going to be doing a ton of stuff. So Thursday, day of the draft, I'll do a live Q&A during the day on YouTube. Thursday night, I will be live streaming the entire first round of the draft. Friday, once again, during the day, I will do a live Q&A where we'll discuss what happened on Thursday and preview Friday. Friday, I will live stream the draft again. I will likely get some guests in there as well. Then on Saturday, I will live stream probably maybe like the first round-ish, probably round four on Saturday. And then I'm going to be doing the live Q&A at night. So I'm not sure. I also have my son's soccer game that day. And then I'll probably go live on Sunday as well. So there's going to be a ton of live stuff going on, including live streaming at least rounds one through four is going to be my guess. So really looking forward to that. So there'll be a ton of time where I'm here with you guys if you want to be live and live streaming alongside of me, answering questions just like we did last year. So really looking forward to that as well. Let's get to our main topic for today and our show for today. There's no real news and notes, so we get to jump right into it. I'm going to try the impossible. And I'm completely, cheating on this to some extent because I will give like my overall prediction here. But I'm going to try to narrow and funnel this draft class down into the most likely selections for Green Bay at pick 23. Let me just tell you. This was a pain in the you-know-what. And it's not because it's not that it's not fun. It's enjoyable. It's great to go through all these players. There is a formula for Green Bay to some extent. It's not a perfect formula, but we know what Green Bay looks for, especially under Brian Gutekunst. We're going to go through that in just a moment. That formula was almost not helpful at all this year. It was the exact opposite of last year, where it was extremely helpful. We'll go through why as we kind of go through our topic for today, but I'm going to do my best to predict who the most likely Packers picks are at pick 23. And of all the years that I've been doing this, I think this has to be the hardest one that I can ever remember to narrow down. I've had a pretty good track record of narrowing it down to like three or five guys. I had LVN as my number one guy on my list. Jordan Morgan was in my final three this past year. I believe it was Quay Walker. I was on my final list of people. Jordan Love was in my final three. Like I've narrowed these down pretty well over the year. And we still have a couple weeks left before I have to make my final prediction. Dayton Jones, I know I had right. I digress. I'm not trying to like brag. I'm just saying like, usually you can narrow these just based on what Goody kind of goes after and what the Packers generally go after. What I'm talking about here is sort of their trends really over the past 23 years. All right. Or at least their last 23 first round picks going all the way back to Aaron Rodgers. Now, when I say 23 first round picks today, what I'm also going over is 21 first round picks plus Jordy Nelson and Kevin King, who were the first picks taken in their respective drafts. Green Bay moved down into the early second round to take Jordy and Kevin King. So I'm counting them in the part of this conversation because for all intents and purposes, they were Green Bay's first round pick in those specific drafts, but they are included in this as well. So 23 first round selections plus Jordy Nelson and Kevin King. Just to give you kind of this is not really anything to do with our episode today or like the breakdown today, but 17 of them have been on defense, which is shocking because if you look over the last, you know, 2.5 decades, Green Bay has been primarily an offensive team and not a defensive team, but 17 of the 23 first round picks have been on defense and only 6 of them have been on offense. Now, what I consider a premium position, I think Green Bay is considered sort of a premium position over the course of these past 23 picks, is quarterback, offensive tackle, defensive end, defensive tackle, and corner. All right. That's what I kind of consider premium positions for Green Bay. 18 of the 23 selections that we're talking about here, 18 of the 23 were either a quarterback, offensive tackle, defensive end, defensive tackle, or corner. I am including Jordan Morgan in that as he was an offensive tackle, can be an offensive tackle, spent a ton of time at tackle this past training camp, will spend a lot of time at tackle this year, and I think eventually probably lands at tackle, but I am counting him in that tackle conversation. But 18 of the 23 were quarterback, offensive tackle, defensive end, defensive tackle, or corner. Again, what I consider premium positions. Now, I am going to start, I think, at least I think we need to have the conversation as to whether or not wide receiver has truly become a premium position. I think you can make the argument that it has. If you include that, then Jordy goes into that and it's 19 out of 23. But as we go through this today, and as we look at the positions that Green Bay could take, and again, if we look at it from a premium position standpoint, I think it's really starting to get to the point where wide receiver very much needs to be included in that premium position, or maybe it's past time. But for Green Bay's sake, usually it's been quarterback, offensive tackle, defensive end, defensive tackle, and corner. And again, 18 of their 23 selections have been at those positions. As far as relative athletic score goes, we know that they like their athletes, right? The average relative athletic score of those 23 selections was 8.3. The average was 8.3. 11 of the 23 were a 9.0 relative athletic score or higher. 16 of the 23 were 8 or higher. 18 of 23 were 7 or higher. 21 of 23 were 6 or higher. And 23 of 23 were 5 or higher. I think a couple of those may not have had RAS scores in there or whatever, but like there's not been any RAS scores under 5.0 in any of these last 23 draft picks. All right, the first rounders plus, again, Nelson and King. I'm just going to call it first rounders. I'm just saying it one more time. I know they weren't. You get the point. So of the last 23, all of them were 5.0 relative athletic score higher. In fact, 12 of the last 12 have been 8.0 or higher, and 14 of the last 15 have been 8.0 or higher. So if you want to narrow it down, you know, you're looking at those high relative athletic scores. You knew that. I knew that. We know it, that they love their athletes, but we'll state it anyway. The other interesting one is that they go power conference shopping. The only exception in those 23 first round picks has been Jordan Love. That's the only exception to their power conference. They usually like, you know, Pac-12, SEC, Big Ten, ACC, et cetera. They go shopping at the big schools. Again, Jordan Love, the only exception in those past 23. Age also matters to them. 11 of the 23 first-round picks were 21 years old. 9 of 23 were 22 years old. So 20 of the 23 selections were 22 or under. All right, so they like the younger players. They're not, you know, once you get to 23, 24, you're just old. You're too old at this point. But they usually like going a little bit younger with those draft picks as well. Some other factors, not necessarily in the first round. The first round has not really always been an indicator of where they're going to go when it comes to top 30 visits, but they usually do like their top 30 visit guys to some extent. Now, some of these top 30 visits are for medical checks and that's it. Some of them are for character checks and that's it. Some of them are probably to make teams think that they might be interested in a player. This is line season. This is subterfuge season. They're all these sort of things, right? So that some of it might be that, but I do think if you look at Goody's history, he does seem to have somewhat of an affinity for his top 30 visit players. All right. And then we know from the Green Bay Draft Guide and the incredible work that they do that each of these individual positions have their own thresholds as well that Green Bay usually looks at. And the players that Green Bay takes usually fall within those thresholds. So today we're going to narrow it first by looking at players that are premium positions. And I am adding wide receiver into this because A, I think it's time. B, I think Green Bay is obviously going to have some level of interest in wide receiver. So premium positions, high relative athletic score, Power 5 conference or Power Conference, 22 years or younger, and then looking at those top 30 visits and Packers types as well within the individual positions. Now, and I'm going to, by the way, be going through the consensus board. Anyone that falls between 10 and 50 on the consensus board, Green Bay's smack dab in the middle, basically at pick 23, you know, anything 10 and 50 we're going to look at today. And when I did this exercise last year, there were really only 8 guys who fit the criteria when you narrowed it down the same way that we just talked about. There were 8 guys: Terrion Arnold, Olufoshanu, Talisa Fuaga, Amarius Mims, Tyler Guyton, Jordan Morgan, and Kingsley Suamataea. All right, that's 7. Arnold, Fashanu, Fuaga, Mims, Guyton, Morgan, Suamataea. So 7, my apologies. All right, 7 guys that that fit the criteria. Of those, Terrion Arnold, now we didn't know it when we did our prediction episode, but Terrion Arnold, Olufoshanu, Talisa Fuaga, and Amarius Mims were all gone. Kingsley Suamataea would not go until the end of the second round, which left 2 players on the board when Green Bay selected. Those 2 players, Tyler Guyton and Jordan Morgan. And they selected Jordan Morgan. All right. So like this has worked in the past. You can narrow it down. You can usually get pretty darn close when you're doing this. So we're going to do it the same way. We're going to narrow it down. We're going to get to, you know, 5, 6, 7 guys. And we're going to have a really great idea who Green Bay is going to pick, except this year is stupid and it doesn't narrow down nicely. First of all, there are 29 players from picks 11 to 50 on the consensus draft board that are one of those premium positions, whether it be quarterback. Well, I took the quarterbacks out. I should say that. I took the quarterbacks out. So, because I think that's a fair and, you know, reach to make that they're not going to take a quarterback. So I took the quarterbacks out. Still 29 of 50, 29 of the players on that list, 10 to 50. So 40 players, 41 players, 29 of the 41 were those premium positions: offensive tackle, defensive end, defensive tackle, corner, or wide receiver. That's a good thing for Green Bay that they're likely to get one of those premium positions, but it's really difficult to narrow it down. So we are down to 29 players of those players that are, again, listed 10 to 50 on the consensus draft board. All right, so that's we're okay. We got off to at least a little bit of a good start. We eliminated 11 players right away, so we're down to 29. All right, so let's go through. And let's go through and limit it by relative athletic score. Clearly, we know that they really love their athletes. We can limit this in a pretty significant way, right? Not a single player on the list of 29 is eliminated from relative athletic score. A piece of this is because nobody does any testing anymore, which makes things a little bit more complicated. Tet McMillan, no RAS. Will Johnson, no RAS. Kelvin Banks at an 8.3, Jude Barron 8.6, Shamar Stewart 10.0, Michael Williams no RAS, Mike Green no RAS, Matthew Golden no RAS, Kenneth Grant was a 7.2, Josh Simmons no RAS, James Pierce was a 9.4, Bray Zabel is a 9.4, Nolan no RAS, Harmon no RAS, Ezeraku is an 8.1, Egbuka is a 9.7, Burden no RAS, Connerly, 8.85 RAS, Hairston a 9.6, Scorton didn't do all the testing, no RAS. Siobhan Revel, no RAS. Trey Amos, 8.37. Azaray Thomas, 8.17. Tyleek Williams doesn't have one. Ariante Ursary, 9.42. Darius Alexander, 9.17. Benjamin Morrison doesn't have one. Landon Jackson, 9.78. And JTT, 9.34. We eliminated nobody. We eliminated nobody by RAS. Great. And again, a lot of this is because every team, if you are to the point where like, I just don't want to see Green Bay take out all of these guys in the top 50 are basically just super freak athletes. We are past it. Like everyone's just doing the same thing. They're going to start with the super freak athletes first. They're going to take all of those players. And then you sort of move on to the next pace, next portion of the draft. Your hit rate is just so much higher when you take the high end athletes. So if you're just like, oh, just Green Bay taking another athlete, so is everyone else. So is literally everyone else. And they're all high end athletes or they don't have the testing. And they're smart. A lot of these players are smart enough now, by the way, where if they're bad at the three cone and the short shuttle, if agility is not their thing, they're just not going to test in it. They're not going to show you their bad score. All right. If they are great at agility but don't have the speed, they're not going to do the 40-yard dash. Like they're getting smarter at it to eliminate some of these things. So that is making it more difficult. So many players did not do a lot of the testing, which does not give you that high relative athletic score and does not give you some of those threshold eliminators in the Green Bay draft guide that show you usually what Green Bay looks for. It's frustrating. So we eliminated nobody by RAS. All right, well, let's get to age. Age, that'll limit it down somewhat, right? Jahdae Barron turned 23 in December. Gray Zabel turned 23 in March. So he just turned 23. You know, we're talking just barely here. Siobhan Revelle Jr. just turned 24. So he's older. Trey Amos just turned 23. And then Darius Alexander turned 25 in August. So I think you can probably take Darius Alexander off that list. You know, Ursary's 23. He just turned 23. Probably not taking any of the just turned 23 guys off. That's not a clear eliminator. You know, Siobhan Revelle being 24, maybe that could be one as well. But for the most part, again, all of these guys were close enough, or again, the vast majority were 21 or 22, where you can't really narrow it that way either. So that becomes a little bit more of a problem. Maybe again, a couple of those guys we can finally eliminate, get it down to maybe 27 or so. But all right, well, let's get to Power Conference. All right, there's clearly going to be some of these guys that are small schools. Not many at all. In fact, Gray Zabel, non-Power Conference, North Dakota State. And then you had Siobhan Revelle Jr., non-power conference. And then the only other one was Darius Alexander, non-power conference. So now we have two for Alexander, the fact that Alexander turns 25 in August and is a non-power conference guy, likely to eliminate him. He was probably not in that first round conversation anyway. I think we would all agree on that. And then Gray Zabel turned 23 in March, non-power conference. There's another one. Plus, he's likely to be an interior offensive line guy. Not a guarantee he could play a tackle. I wouldn't necessarily just throw him at an interior right away. But if he's not a tackle, that potentially limits him off of this list as well. So there's maybe one other one that you can get off of this, but there's not a ton. Mike Green, sorry, is the other one, non-power conference. He would be one other one that you could maybe eliminate. Well, we're going to get to him in just a moment as well. Can you smell it? Springtime is in the air and baseball is officially underway, and you know exactly what that means. It means it's time to add your favorite players from the diamond into your Prize Picks lineup. Whether it's strikeouts, RBIs, first inning runs, take your pick on more or less for your shot to win up to 1,000 times your cash today. And right now you can sign up for Prize Picks and get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's absolutely guaranteed. So do you think Shohei Ohtani will get more than one home run this week? How about Juan Soto more than one hit in his next game? Cook up your hot takes with your friends and win real money when you run your game on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with Jackson Churio to stay hot in Milwaukee, and I'm also going to be picking pretty much every hitter against Milwaukee, seeing as their entire pitching staff is on the DL. The best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly on your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks, run your game. So there's a few guys, you know, that you can sort of eliminate off of this as well, but not a ton here. And then the actual, you know, the thresholds that they look at in each of these positions as well, There's not many. You know, Jahdae Barron is slightly under 5'11", slightly above the 7.003 cone, but he really kind of checks all the boxes. Mike Green is one that you kind of eliminate. He doesn't hit arm length. We don't know the broader the RAS. He's under the height and weight, and there's some off-field concerns. So when you start putting the full package together for Mike Green, not a power conference guy, doesn't have the arm length, We are missing some stats for him, or just testing to know if he kind of fits their usual thresholds and doesn't hit their height and weight thresholds at the position, plus has off-field concerns. So I think that is one that I feel pretty confident eliminating from this list, and just does not feel like their, you know, kind of type of edge rusher, if I'm being honest. James Pierce does not hit the height or arm length that they usually, the height, weight, or arm length that they look for at the position. It's another one I think you can probably eliminate. Donovan Ezeraquu, 1.5 inches shy of the 6'4 and 12 pounds shy of 260 pounds. So he is under the height and the weight thresholds. That, again, when I say thresholds, I should be clear. These are not specific thresholds where if you're under it, Green Bay's like, you're completely off the board or anything like that. We are showing you, or I should say the Green Bay draft guide is showing you, you know, what the historical threshold has been. It's not to say that there is a firm, you know, stance there by Green Bay, but it's what historically trends in that direction. Okay. Maxwell Hairston is 7 pounds shy of 190. So he's a little bit under that. We don't know his short shuttle as well. There's a few of these that you can kind of eliminate, but not, again, a ton. The vast majority of these players either didn't have the testing to eliminate them or hit all of the testing that you would be looking for. So when I got through all of the sort of eliminators, here's who I eliminated off of the list of 29 players that were out there. And again, just to read them through one more time, here was the full list of 29. Tet McMillan, Will Johnson, Kelvin Banks, Jahdae Barron, Shamar Stewart, Mikel Williams. Let me start over for those of you who maybe don't know these players as well. My apologies. All right, Tet McMillan, wide receiver, Will Johnson, corner out of Michigan, Kelvin Banks, offensive tackle from Texas, Jahdae Barron, corner slot, maybe safety from Texas, but probably corner or slot guy, Shamar Stewart, edge rusher, Texas A&M, Mikel Williams, edge rusher, Georgia, Mike Green, edge rusher from Marshall, Matthew Golden, wide receiver from Texas, Kenneth Grant, defensive tackle from kind of nose tackle, but defensive tackle from Michigan, Josh Simmons, offensive tackle, Ohio State, James Pierce, edge rusher, Tennessee, Gray Zabel, offensive lineman, North Dakota State, Walter Nolan, defensive tackle, Ole Miss, Derek Harmon, defensive tackle, Oregon, Donovan Ezeraquu, edge rusher, Boston College, Emeka Egbuka, wide receiver, Ohio State, Luther Burden, wide receiver, Missouri, Josh Connerly Jr., offensive tackle for Oregon, Maxwell Hairston, corner for Kentucky. Yep, had to do a double take. Nick Scorton, I have not watched Scorton yet, and that one I'm drawing a blank on. That's also Texas A&M. My apologies. Siobhan Revel, corner ECU. Trey Amos, corner for Ole Miss. Ezra Thomas, corner Florida State. Tyleek Williams, defensive tackle Ohio State. Arante Ursary, offensive tackle, I believe Minnesota. Darius Alexander, defensive tackle Toledo. Benjamin Morrison, corner for Notre Dame. Landon Jackson, defensive end Arkansas. And JTT, edge rusher for Ohio State. That's the list that we're going off of here. All right. So here's who I was able to eliminate from that list of 29 that I think, based on some of the historical trends, you can feel comfortable eliminating. I'm actually eliminating one of these, just not based on any of that. I don't think Jahdae Barron makes it to 23. So I'm just taking him off the list based off nothing else other than I will be fairly surprised if he lasts till 23. He's the best corner in the draft. Crazier things have happened. You know, we saw last year, Quinion Mitchell went right before that range. So like 21, 23, right in there is where those guys started to go. So it's not entirely out of the realm of possibility, but I think Barron is just gone. All right. So I'm going to take him off the list. Mike Green, we talked about off-field issues and some of the thresholds he doesn't meet. James Pierce, thresholds, and also seems to have some locker room concerns as well. Gray Zabel, probably an interior offensive lineman, small school, age. I just don't think he necessarily is probably what Green Bay is ideally looking for in this draft. Siobhan Revel, injury, coming off the major injury, small school, and then the age concerns as well at age 24. Darius Alexander, 25 in August, non-power conference. I'm taking him off the list as well. That leaves us still with 23 players on that list. Of those 23, I think there are 15 that you can narrow it to that are probably going to be taken more in Green Bay's range. I mean, nobody that's going to basically for sure be gone, and nobody that you're probably making a massive reach for. 15 guys. Tet McMillan, the wide receiver. Will Johnson, the corner. Kelvin Banks, the offensive tackle. Shamar Stewart, the defensive end. Mikel Williams, the defensive end. Matthew Golden, the wide receiver. Kenneth Grant, the defensive tackle. Josh Simmons, the offensive tackle. Walter Nolan, the defensive tackle. Derek Harmon, the defensive tackle. Edge rusher, Donovan Ezeraquu. Emeka Egbuka, the wide receiver, Luther Burden, the wide receiver, Max Harrison, the corner, and Landon Jackson, the defensive end. Those are the 15 that I am going to limit it to. All right. So from that list of 15, I'm going to do my best and I'm going to narrow it down from 10 to 1 with two honorable mentions. I left off three players that I don't think Green Bay is going to select. Luther Burden, the wide receiver. Man, do I hope I'm wrong. I love Luther Burden. He's my guy. He's my dude. I think the blocking is going to be an issue. I think whether or not he can play outside or is he more of a slot guy could be an issue. I don't think they take Luther Burden. Could also be gone. I'm going to take him off the list. The two offensive linemen, Josh Simmons and Kelvin Banks, I'm also taking off this list. I don't think it's impossible. I have a hard time figuring it out. By the way, you could get an all Banks offseason. Kelvin Banks and Aaron Banks make a real bank statement. But left tackle, Kelvin Banks. Left guard, Aaron Banks moving forward. You have an all Banks left side of your line. There is some advantage to that, I guess. But I just, if you already have six offensive linemen, and I love offensive line depth. Never have enough of it. I'm all for it. I would not hate either of those picks, by the way. I like both of these players. It's a tougher sell for me with your premium first round pick to come in and bring in a guy that is competing with six guys that you already have that are looking to start this season. I'm all for looking in the long term. I'm all for the offensive line depth. You're probably going to need at least seven guys through the course of the season. So I don't hate it. I understand it. I just think if you're going to take Simmons or Banks, you're basically just saying there's no way we're moving on. Or there's no way we're signing Rashid Walker back. It's just the end of the Rashid Walker era after this year. And that's it. You already have Rashid Walker and Jordan Morgan right now that can play left tackle. Zach Tom could play left tackle. Alton Jenkins could play left tackle. Like, you have guys to play left tackle. You know, if you bring in a Kelvin Banks or a Josh Simmons, you're saying basically 2026 is probably going to be either one of those guys, Kelvin Banks or Josh Simmons at left tackle. Aaron Banks at left guard. Probably Elton still at center, and then Jordan Morgan at right guard and Zach Tom at right tackle. It's not the worst thing in the world to do. It's a tougher bridge for me to gap to get get all the way there. It's a bigger gap for me to bridge to get all the way there. Sorry, it is 2:16 in the morning. I've been breaking these things down ad nauseum over the course of the last handful of weeks and just trying to figure out exactly who the pick might be. And my head is just spinning through these guys, trying to like really narrow it to the best of my ability, right? So I narrowed it down to 10 guys and two honorable mentions, and I'm going to put them in order. And I think there's six that I feel the most comfortable about. All right. The honorable mentions, Donovan Ezeraku and Max Harrison. Ezeraku, I love. He's going to end up probably in the top 12 for me in this draft. I think he's amazing. I think he's phenomenal. As we talked about earlier, he's undersized, doesn't have the arm length. He's not usually what Green Bay looks for at pass rusher. I think if my heart wants him on this list, my mind says, you know what's going to happen. They're not going to take him. He very easily could be gone as well. So I would love it. I just don't think that's the direction they go in. The only reason I'm adding him here as an honorable mention is because of the Jeff Hafley connection. And because Ogabasi, the assistant defensive line coach, was Ezeraku's mentor. And that's an intriguing aspect of this. And if he's there, like, he does hold up against the run better than his size would indicate. He's got that compact build. He's an unbelievable pass rusher. I can't rule it out entirely. My mind says I don't think it's going to happen. My heart wants it to happen extremely. I just don't see it. So he's an honorable mention. Max Harrison's another one. Daniel Jeremiah mocked him to Green Bay not too long ago. He doesn't quite hit the weight thresholds, but we're talking about 7 pounds here. And as he gets in the NFL weight room, like, that's something that you can put on. It's one thing if you don't have the height, you can't do that. With the weight, I mean, he can put on 7 pounds. He's super fast. He's a freaky fast dude. Even if he puts on 7 pounds of muscle, that's not going to make him, you know, bulky and slow. He is a super fast corner. So I don't think Max Harrison understands yet just how good he can be in this league. He's a tremendously talented individual. I could see it. I think he fits in this defense. I can't quite get there, which is why he's an honorable mention and not on my top 10, but I also can't rule it out entirely. I think of the corners, he could make some sense. You know, you may have met, I can't get there quite with Trey Amos at pick 23. Maybe if they move down, can't quite get there again with Revelle or any of the other corners. Morrison as well. I think those would have to be moved down guys. I think they're more second round guys than first round guys. I could understand Hairston in the first round. Even that, I would like to see Green Bay move down for, though. But those are my honorable mentions, Ezeraku and Max Hairston. Number 10 on my list is Landon Jackson. This is one I played with for a while. Height, weight, speed, super freak athlete, good productivity, fits the defense. I could see this. I've heard some people talk recently. I think it was Justice, actually, we talked to about Landon Jackson saying he thinks he could get this bump, and all of a sudden, I think it was Justice I talked to about it, where all of a sudden he's talked about as like a first round guy. I've seen some mocks lately that have him going end of first, or even I think there was one that had him like a pick after Green Bay at like pick 24, 25, somewhere right around there. I could see it. He's got the traits. He really did well at the Senior Bowl. He tore up the combine. You know, he's had a good college career. If you get to a world in which the other top pass rushers and defensive tackles are off the board, I think there's a chance that Green Bay could just say, all right, we're going to go Landon Jackson. I don't think that's completely out of this, you know, world, and I don't think it's a crazy idea. He is number 10 on my list. Number 9, Emeka Egbuka. I really wanted to keep Emeka Egbuka off of this list. I just couldn't quite do it. The 2-day top 30 visit for Egbuka is very intriguing. I feel like this is probably still a smokescreen. The you know, whether he's a slot receiver, outside wide receiver, I think there's enough there where he probably can play some. Yeah, I know he can play some outside wide receiver, but that they feel comfortable enough with it. I don't totally buy it. I kind of wanted to just keep him off the list, but I'm going to put him at number 9. I don't think it's impossible. I don't think it's super likely. Again, I have 6 guys I feel much better about, but he comes in at number 9 on the list. It certainly would be a good wide receiver for Green Bay and somebody that I think Jordan Love would learn to trust very quickly. Number 8, Walter Nolan. This is another player that I know a lot of people like mocking to Green Bay, like the player. I wasn't quite as in love with Walter Nolan. What I will also say is he's a little bit too Devontae White, just three technique. He's not a great run defender quite yet. More upside than polish in his game. You're going to have to really work on some technique stuff. That part of it sounds very Green Bay Packer, but I wonder if he's a good enough, you know, overall run defender. And if he is, again, just a little bit, if you're going to re-sign Wyatt, having Wyatt and Nolan both, I just don't necessarily see that being the way that Green Bay probably goes. Not impossible. He's a very talented player, very, very talented player, but I think it's a little bit less likely. So he's at number 8. Number 7 is Tet McMillan. Whether he's there or not is a huge question mark, but on the outside, you are going to get a legitimate outside wide receiver. And that's what Green Bay really needs. And the comps are all over the board for Tet. He is undoubtedly talented. There is definitely a presence that he has when he is on the field. And you have to be careful with which corners you're putting on him. I don't like necessarily how he deals with physicality sometimes, although he obviously comes up with a lot of contested catches. He's a little bit better route runner than I think he gets credit for. He's better after the catch than I think he gets credit for. He's just a really good wide receiver. I don't think he's going to be Mike Evans. I don't even know that he's necessarily going to be a Drake London, but I think he's very talented. And I saw some people say Cortland Sutton, maybe in that realm, but he helps on the outside. He gives Jordan a big target, red zone threat. And I think they can use that outside wide receiver. They go and visit his pro day. Again, if he's there at 23, that's going to be the big question mark. And then would they actually take a wide receiver? Another big question mark, but I can't rule him out. He comes in at number 7. And then that's where I kind of draw the line. I think those are still a little bit, maybe less likely. I have 6 that I feel much better about for Green Bay. So these are kind of my, if I'm narrowing it down, this is where I'm going. Hard part is too, is like, these all could theoretically be gone, which is going to leave you in complete no man's land. But number 6 on my list is wide receiver Matthew Golden. I think if they take a wide receiver, it's going to be Golden. You know, one of the player that I've been thinking a lot about when I've been watching Golden lately and just thinking of what he brought to Green Bay and how important he was to Aaron Rodgers, Greg Jennings. Similar height, weight. Golden ran a 4.240. Jennings was a 4.440. I think Jennings was a little bit faster than his time speed. I think Golden's a little bit slower than his time speed. I think they probably meet somewhere in the middle. They're both very fast. They're good route runners. They pluck the ball out of the air. They're both like not, you know, this all-pro type wide receiver, right? They're just really damn good wide receivers that do everything well. And sort of similar to Jennings in the fact that Jennings was not your prototypical, I'm just going to line up and run a nine route and run by you, and I'm going to get open deep, right? And I don't think Golden's going to be that either. But they were so creative with the routes that they gave Jennings. He was such a great route runner, and then he had the speed to get open, and then he had great run after the catch. Yeah, I think Jennings is going to be the better run after the catch guy between those two, no question about it. Jennings had a little bit more of that physicality and could run through some things, but Golden has the great speed after the catch. He'll make a move here and there. I'm not saying that they, this isn't my comp for Golden is not Greg Jennings per se, but I think what Jennings brought to that Aaron Rodgers offense is what Golden could bring to this Jordan Love offense. And I think if you're looking for somebody who has the ability to win downfield some, just give him another option, a super speed guy, 4.294 or 4.2 whatever 40. To me, this does make some sense. Also, you get the green and Golden. Like we got a lot of things that are cooking here. But if they take a wide receiver, I'm going to say that it is Matthew Golden. I feel good about what he could bring. Obviously, Goody was in the building when they drafted Jennings. I could actually see this one. If they take one, and again, there's a great chance that he's gone in the top 15 picks. Yeah, I know Dallas seems to have some interest, whatever. Who knows? But if he's there, I think Matthew Golden could actually be the wide receiver that maybe breaks the streak. And he's at number 6 on my list. Still not super likely, but possible. Number 5 is Kenneth Grant, the defensive tackle out of Michigan. What I keep going back to in my mind, first of all, he checks all the boxes of everything Green Bay looks for. Just everything, okay? He's big, he's strong, he's fast, he's physical, stops the run. The pass rush is a little bit of a work in progress, and he might not ever be quite that guy. But what I keep coming back to is these two freaky linebackers, Quay Walker and Edgerrin Cooper. I would love if those guys are kept as clean as possible. And adding a 330-pound mammoth beast of a defensive tackle right next to Kenny Clark, where those guys eat a lot of those blocks up front and allow Edgerrin Cooper and Quay Walker to just be the freaks that they are and flow to the football, that could be a lot of fun. Not to mention that he is a pocket collapser. He can win with some suddenness, especially for his size. He needs to work on his pass rush arsenal, but there are a lot of ways that he fits incredibly well with this defense and opens some things up for these edge rushers because he's collapsing pockets on passing downs, where the quarterbacks maybe have a little less space to step into, and he's eating blocks for Edge Cooper and Quay Walker. I think he could actually be a pretty important cog. Now, again, you can put all of a sudden Clark and Kenneth Grant on the defensive tackle group together. Good luck running on that. And again, they can also collapse the pocket and get to the quarterback a little bit. Really fun, I think, player that brings some additional incentives to what it would mean for the players around him. Maybe not the guy that comes in and makes all the plays, but I think he's going to set up a lot of players around him to go make plays. And that's going to be a very important aspect of this as well. So number 5 on my list is Kenneth Grant. Also, you could get Kenny and Kenneth next to each other. The Kennys, we could do it, call it a variety of different things. Ken and Kenny, Kenneth and Ken, whatever we want to call it. But I'm going to go Kenny and Kenneth along that defensive tackle group, and I'll absolutely take that. Number 4 is Mykel Williams. We broke him down in great detail yesterday. Don't need to do it again today, but if he's there, to me, he's the guy. I don't think there's anyone on the list that we're going to talk about today that Green Bay is likely to have higher on their board. If Mykel Williams is there at pick 23, to me, I'm gonna pull a Charles Barkley and just say, I'm going to guarantee it. You know, he gets it wrong all the time and there's no comeuppance for it anyway. So Mykel Williams on the clock at pick 23, he is the pick. The only reason he's not at number 1 is because I don't think he's going to be there. I think he's going to go earlier. But if he is there, he's the guy. Number 3, Will Johnson, corner out of Michigan. I do actually think there's a real chance. In fact, I think it's maybe even somewhat likely that he could be there at pick 23. I don't think this is a crazy thing where it's like, oh, he'll never fall to 23. I think there's a really good chance that he could fall to 23. And he is the type of corner that I think is going to fit this Jeff Hafley defense very well. He's the type of corner I could easily see Goody falling in love with. It's almost like a mix of like a little bit of Jair and a little bit of Josh Jackson, players that he spent first and second round picks on in the past. And I could easily, again, if he's there, see him, you know, rushing that card to the podium, maybe even in person, right? It's in Green Bay. He might do it himself. I'm not a huge Will Johnson guy. I'll just say that. This would not be, and that's even more reason why it'll probably happen. But he's not my particular, you know, choice in this situation. But I think Green Bay is going to like him. And I do think that he fits most of the things that they're looking for. So I'm going to go Will Johnson at number three. The top two are not going to be surprising at all. Derek Harmon at number two. Again, this comes down to, is he actually going to be there? We talked about the upside, the intangibles that he brings to the team, run stopper, pass rusher, can do everything. Really fun player to put next to Kenny Clark. I'd be all in. It just is a question of, can he be there? And the number one that makes the most sense by far still to me is Shamar Stewart. Uber pass rusher. I mean, I should say uber freak at the pass rusher position. All of the height, weight, speed thresholds, 10.0 RAS. Not sure he would have done that if he actually did the agility testing, but this is the prototypical Packer that maybe doesn't have the productivity, but they think they can come, you know, bring in and mold and be that guy. I talked to Justice again about him this week. He said he's going to have him probably in the, I think he said top five, but top 10 on his board. He's going to be right around in that 10 to 12 range for me on my board is my guess. I love him. Justice loves him. A lot of people love him. Could be possible that a lot of people ahead of pick 23 love him as well and that he's just not there. But maybe with the productivity concerns, he maybe just gets to pick 23. And if so, that's another one that I think Green Bay sprints to the podium and takes at that spot. So six guys I feel a lot more confident in. But my honorable mentions, Ezra Okwu and Max Hairston, number 10, Landon Jackson, 9, Emeka Egbuka, 8, Walter Nolan, 7, Tet McMillan. And then again, my real ones that I feel better about, 6, Matthew Golden, 5, Kenneth Grant, 4, Michael Williams, 3, Will Johnson, 2, Derek Harmon, and 1, Shamar Stewart. I went and looked at a few mock drafts, right? USA Today, I looked at their mock draft that was just put on the last, I think, 24, 48 hours. Michael Williams was still there. That's the case. He's going to be the pick. Looked at Pete Prisco's mock draft, CBS, I think still at CBS Sports. Will Johnson, corner, was still there. Based on his board, I would expect Will Johnson to be the pick. Rhett Lewis looked at his board. Guess who was still there? Jahdae Barron. If he is there, I think he would be very much in the conversation as well. The hard part about this, at pick 23, there are all of these options that are out there. We have less athletic testing than we've ever had before. I think we have this huge stack of players that is all that are all capable of going like anywhere from like pick 9 to 10 to pick like 25. And Green Bay is, again, right in the thick of that with just who's going to be left, who's going to be there, who could they... It is so insanely hard to narrow down. I will say this. Imagine this scenario. Titans go Cam Ward, Browns go Travis Hunter, Giants go Abdul Carter, Patriots go Will Campbell, Jaguars go Mason Graham, Raiders Ashton Jeanty. Some of these don't have to be perfect. These are actually, I'm using most of Rhett Lewis's big draft board for this and just changing a couple. Raiders go Ashton Jeanty, Jets go Armon Mambu, Panthers go Jalen Walker, Saints go Jahdae Barron, Bears go Tyler Warren, 49ers go Kelvin Banks, Cowboys go Matthew Golden, Dolphins go Josh Simmons, Colts go Will Johnson, Falcons go Shamar Stewart, Cardinals go Kenneth Grant, Bengals go Michael Williams, Seahawks go Ezra Okwu, Bucks go Jihad Campbell, Broncos go Emeka Egbuka, Steelers go Walter Nolan, and Chargers go Tet McMillan. All right. You don't need to know that of who went where. It doesn't matter. My point in that mock is that my top six that I just talked about, Shamar Stewart, Derek Harmon, Will Johnson, Michael Williams, Kenneth Grant, and Matthew Golden were all gone. And by the way, none of those were out of place, meaning like you wouldn't look at it and be like, what? There's no way that that player would go that high. Six of those are gone. Number 7, Tet McMillan went one pick before Green Bay. Walter Nolan went two picks before Green Bay. Emeka Egbuka went three picks before Green Bay. The ones left on my list, I think Luther Burden was still on there. Yeah, Luther Burden's still there. Landon Jackson still there. That's kind of it. Would they take Landon Jackson in that? Like, that is a real scenario, by the way. I don't think it's impossible that of all the guys that we went through today, Shamar Stewart, Derek Harmon, Will Johnson, Michael Williams, Kenneth Grant, Matthew Golden, Tet McMillan, Walter Nolan, Emeka Egbuka, 9 of those first 10, even Ezra Okwu was gone as well. Like 10 of the 12 that we talked about are gone. And if that happens, where does Green Bay go? I can tell you where they're going to go. They're going to go and try to trade down, I think, as quickly as possible in that scenario. I don't want to like strike fear into people and say like, yep, all those top... I do think that there's a real chance that that situation could come to fruition. And if so, Man, I talked about already not knowing where Green Bay goes. I have no idea where they go in that situation, other than I think they really try to trade down. And hopefully that's just not the case. Or maybe they try to trade up when, you know, a couple of those guys are still on the board before they go. Maybe it's Green Bay that's taking one of those guys. But that would be the sort of nightmare scenario for me. But I still like that group of players. Again, that top six: Matthew Golden, Kenneth Grant, Michael Williams, Will Johnson, Derek Harmon, and Shamar Stewart. And if I had to put money on it today, I will say Shamar Stewart is that pick. I think we'll have a better feel for it in a couple of weeks. I will make my official prediction when that does in fact happen. But this is a very interesting exercise to look at. And I am sorry, by the way. I would love to have said, hey, here's what Green Bay does, and here's the five guys that make sense. And you can pretty much take a look at just these five, because nobody else is going to be in that realm of consideration. You know, we narrowed it to what, seven last year, and it ended up being one of those seven. We can usually get there. This year, it's near impossible. The lack of testing, all the guys that play premium positions, the draft board falling where it's like all these guys are in a huge cluster together. All of them are under age 23, basically. It's a crazy scenario where, I mean, it's a good scenario where a lot of the things that Green Bay looks for, these players have. That's a great position to be in. What they do, your guess is as good as mine. I wish I had a better answer for you this year. I just don't. Based on the historical trends, it's going to be a little bit of a crapshoot. I think that's what's going to make it very interesting to keep an eye on when we get to draft day and some of these players start falling off the board and we get closer and closer to pick 23. All right, friends, that's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. I always appreciate you guys a ton. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Razul Douglas Time, Jake Kohner, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle Stinkle, and Jen Wright. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.